In the last two verses of the Gospel of Matthew, we find what's often called the Great Commission. And our Lord Jesus sends out the 11, and he sends them out to do one thing, and to do one thing two ways. And this is one of the places where the King James Version isn't necessarily helpful. Most of the time it is, but sometimes it's not. In verse 19, go ye therefore and teach. The word teach there is disciple. To disciple all nations. To disciple all nations, and this is to be done two ways. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Or in the book of Acts, you may read when they were baptized in the name of Christ. That's what they're referring to. The baptism Christ gave them. But it's not just baptizing. That's the first part of the work. And as we'll see later, maybe that's a little surprising. That the first part of discipleship isn't teaching. The first part of discipleship is baptizing. But then secondarily, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, or pay attention, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In these words, we find the giving of Christian baptism tied together with that Great Commission given to the 11. And as we begin to consider this, this giving of baptism, notice who gives baptism. Boys and girls, have you ever thought about why we baptize? Some people come up with all kinds of different answers. Some people think we baptize because though it's not recorded in the New Testament, there was a culture and other cultures that practiced ceremonial washings called baptism. You talk to some Christians and they think, well, we baptize because John the Baptist baptized. You talk to other Christians and they think, we baptize because Jesus got baptized. Now, those are all true facts, but none of them are why we baptize. We baptize because Jesus told us to. That's why. It's a marvelous question to consider. What's the relationship between ceremonial washings that were done by the Jews, called baptism, to Christ's command that we baptize? What's the connection between John the Baptist's baptism and the baptism that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us? And we could say it's a really marvelous question to say, what's the significance between Jesus being baptized and then his command for us to be baptized? Those are all great questions, sadly, none of which we will consider this morning. But the reason we baptize is because Jesus says. Because Jesus says. Now, this might seem self-evident, but it's very important. Are we supposed to do what Jesus says? I hope your answer is always yes. And if Jesus says we are to be baptized, or to put it to you another way, if Jesus says the 11 disciples, as it says in verse 16, were to go out and do baptism, shouldn't they have been baptizing? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we can see the apostles took this to heart in the rest of the book of Acts. The one that has all power in heaven and earth, as Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. In other words, all authority is mine. He says, go ye therefore, disciple all nations, baptizing. This is their Savior. This is their Lord. And more than that, this is the one that all of history and all of the Jewish scriptures have been looking forward to. This is that great full revelation of their redemption. This is that great full marvelous manifestation of Christ's saving work as he will now ascend up into heaven to be enthroned by his Father. Every promise they looked forward to finding its completion in him is now becoming a reality as he has risen from the dead, having all authority and power. It's not just my good teacher said this. It's not just my personal Savior said this. It's my Lord and my God, as He has kept every covenant promise, has said this. And now life, particularly life and worship, will look radically different. And what happens? Exactly what they are told. The Spirit comes upon them and they preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Samaria, and then out to the ends of the earth. For those of you at the Greenbrier Bible study, that's what we saw when we considered the book of Acts. For those of you who come to the Harrison Bible study, that's what we're seeing as we consider the book of Acts. It's that same truth. It's that same truth. Well, as significant as it was for them, how significant is it for you and me? How significant is it for you and me? How important is it that the one who has all power, the one who has fulfilled all righteousness, the one who now is leading, teaching, guiding, and helping His people from heaven by the power of His Spirit, has commanded baptism? To put it to you another way, is baptism important to you? Is it important to you that it be done? Is it important to you not only that it be done, is it important to you that it be done according to the Scriptures, as we find it in the book of Acts, as we find it explained in the epistles of the New Testament? And thirdly, not only is it important that it be done, not only is it important that it be done according to Scripture, but is it important that you have been baptized? If you have. Boys and girls, you may not even remember your baptism if you were baptized as a baby. Or maybe you remember your baptism because following the New Testament model, your whole household was baptized all at once rather than by each addition. Is that important to you? What does your baptism mean to you? How is it significant to you? It means it sets you apart from the world. It means you have the privilege of being taught the things of God. It means you will be held to greater and stricter account before the Lord if you were to reject Him and turn away from Him, just like the people of Israel, just like those who were circumcised. We'll consider together the way the sons of Jacob acted later on in Genesis and how they acted in a way that was godless with the Old Testament sign and seal of God's grace, circumcision. Let us not act godless with a sign of baptism, forgetting its significance, forgetting who it points us to and what He's done, despising it, neglecting it, or simply treating it like the form told us as some tradition. It's not. Your baptism has set you apart. It is a powerful sign that the Lord Jesus Christ will save all who come unto Him, even you, even me. Just like the flesh had to be cut away and sin broken through the shedding of blood with circumcision, following Colossians chapter 2. So the washing of baptism comes in its place as a picture of God washing away the sins of His people for the sake of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Is that what baptism means to you? If it is, follow the Lord. Come to Him in repentance and faith. Is that what baptism is beginning to mean to you, perhaps for the first time? Come to the Lord. Follow Him in repentance and faith. But if baptism doesn't mean anything to you, not really, be careful. He who had all power in heaven and earth says it is to be done. It is a marvelous, as we call it, sacrament, a sign and seal of God's work of redemption. And to put it to you quite simply, you're just not doing what Jesus said. That should be the burden of all of us. And if it's not, whose words, whose thoughts, whose desires are more important? Yours? Or Jesus? Boys and girls, whose thoughts and whose desires should be more important? Yours or Jesus? Exactly, Jesus is. And it should always be that way. And when it's not, if it's not, we ought to repent. Well, the giving of baptism by one with all power, significant for the apostles and significant for us, but also as an absolutely necessary part of discipleship. The gospel's going to go out to the ends of the earth now. It's almost as if there's this great sense of anticipation. For so long, since the time of Noah, and then from the calling of Abraham, and then as the people of Israel are delivered out of Egypt, there's prophecies, promises, psalms, and songs that talk about the gospel going to the ends of the earth. David spoke all about those things. And now is the time it's going to happen. Now is the time it's going to happen. Wasn't the time yet. This is the end of the Gospel of Matthew. You might say the book of Acts is just slightly yet to come. The Spirit still has to fall on them. And when He does, and the Lord Jesus baptizes them with the Spirit and with fire, they go out to the ends of the earth. And as the people of the time realized, these men have turned the world upside down. Something amazing that all of the Old Testament was pointing to, that they were just on the edge of embracing and realizing that they would disciple the nations. And as this great fulfillment of what all has gone before is about to happen, what are they to do? Jesus says, disciple the nations. Train them. Come alongside them. Instruct them. Reveal to them the truth and show them how it is to be lived. Show them what it means to be followers of me. And what are they to do that? For people to understand what it means to be a Christian, for people to walk in the teachings of Christ, to grow in the Christian faith, what two things do they need for the marvelous change God is about to bring through the ministry of these men and the early church, as the Spirit powerfully strengthens them? What is necessary for the changing of this world, the discipling of these nations? Two things. Two things. Two very important things. Baptism and teaching. Baptism and teaching. Incidentally, you notice that's what the church does. That's what the church does. We baptize and we teach. We baptize and we teach. In baptism, when people believe, they and their families are set apart before God. And just like those who believed in the Old Testament, they and their households with the men and the boys were circumcised, so they are baptized. Now what a glorious fullness that it is now not just a sign to be applied to men. Because remember, even as far back as Adam, it was only when Adam sinned the guilt was reckoned. But now, moving from that cutting away of the part of the body through which that whole idea of guilt is passed on. Now there is cleansing and washing for both. Cleansing and washing for both. Guilt imputed, to use the theological language, federally through the sin of Adam, showing the need for cleansing in that way that sin is passed on and that guilt passed on. So now, the result of the work of the last Adam spread fully, powerfully, clearly, even on both genders, to show the efficacy of the work of the last. Baptizing. Baptizing. And what did baptism do for a family, especially among the Gentiles? Set them apart from the world they were a part of. It included them visibly as a part of their new family, being part of the body of Christ. And it was a testimony and a stamp of the glorious work Jesus had done to save sinners. It gave them a new identity. It gave them a new hope. It gave them a new family. It gave them a new life. Then, as they live that life, as part of that new body, looking to the hope in Jesus Christ, then what do they receive? Teaching. They go together. The mentioning of one first isn't about the time things are supposed to be done in. You could even argue perhaps it's maybe not even the logical order things are to be done in. The fact that they're both together shows they're to be done at the same time. The same time. That's why you see the Philippian jailer believing and baptized. What did he know? What did he know? What doctrine did he understand? What scripture did he memorize? What theology had been taught? What did he know? He was a sinner in danger of the wrath of God, and he needed deliverance, and he could find it in Jesus Christ. And as he found it in Jesus Christ and came in faith and repentance, he was baptized to live a life then of constant teaching, constant growing, constant understanding. It's not as if you're baptized and then you don't need to know anything anymore. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Baptizing and teaching go together. Always. Have you ever heard it said? Maybe you boys and girls have heard this said in commercials, or maybe you've read it in homeschooling material, seen it in the book catalogs your parents may get. Never stop learning. That is true. There is one baptism, but there is a lifelong of learning and teaching. That, by the grace of God, as the Spirit empowered, changed this world, turned it upside down, and fulfilled all those pictures and prophecies of the Old Testament as the Spirit of Christ blessed. But notice, baptism is this necessary part of discipleship that changed the nations, is also all according to God's covenant, all according to God's promises, all according to that special relationship we live in with Him. Just like circumcision set apart Abraham and his children, baptism sets apart us and our children. Just like those who were set apart, who have the sign and the seal of that marvelous work of God, were to live in a way governed by His teachings. So we now, in the New Testament, the same way, live in a way set apart and governed by His teachings. It's covenantal. It has to do with our relationship with God. The relationship He has established in Christ Jesus. And that relationship He maintains through Christ Jesus as the power of His Spirit works, guides, and directs. You might say, they were the covenant people of the Old Testament. We are the covenant people of the New Testament. All the believing Jews. And now all the believing Jews and Gentiles. We may call it the church. Paul called it Israel. And whether it's Paul saying, those who have the faith of Abraham are the children of Abraham, or whether the Apostle John in Revelation makes difference between those who are Christians and those who are of the synagogue of Satan, it's very clear. To call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, like Abraham did, is what makes one a true Jew, a true child of Abraham. Just like we saw last week, that circumcision was not of the flesh, but of the heart. A necessary part of discipleship, as it changed the nations in this world, is still with us in our experience today as we live according to God's covenant in Christ. But notice this also brings with it the giving of Christian baptism, as we see the one who has all power gives it. We see this as a necessary part of discipleship, but it comes with necessary instructions. You know, I got something that I loved last night. I got something I loved last night. It doesn't make a lot of sense that I love it, I guess, but I did. Last night, after doing some visits, I came to the church. I put the board up, and my wife had purchased a few things through the deals website or text messages from the discount stores. was waiting in the back. Some of you pick up stuff at the back of the church sometimes. It was Saturday night, so I thought, I'll just bring it home. And you know what it was? I bet you'll never know what it was. It was a juicer. And it wasn't an electronic juicer where, you know, you can shove stuff in the top and it comes out the side and goes, or one you kind of shove stuff in the top and it comes out the bottom. This is something I hadn't seen since I visited my family in Florida. It's the weirdest, ugliest elephant giraffe looking thing, but it's marvelous. It's got two legs, this back, a big lever, this round cone thing, and you're supposed to put oranges and grapefruits. The other fruits don't matter to me. Those are just the two I care about. And you pull the lever, and it juices these things completely and perfectly. Now, it's ugly. And we don't do a lot of fresh citrus because we don't live in Florida. But it's a reminder of a special time we spent with family in Florida. It was a reminder of how really good Florida oranges and grapefruits are. I couldn't believe it. I just love this thing. It's horrible. It's ugly. We're going to have to find a place for it in our house. We're not going to use it much, but it's going to be such a reminder. But guess what came with it? The box was all beat up and different things. You know what came with it? Instructions. And I looked at the instructions. And as I'm opening the instructions in pride and foolishness, you're thinking, who needs instructions for this? And I looked at the instructions. I'm like, I need instructions for this. Because I didn't pay. I thought I knew how this worked, but I didn't. Why are these Allen wrenches coming with my juicer? I don't understand. Maybe you've got a favorite toy. Maybe you remember opening the box. Maybe it was an electronic car, maybe it was a transformer, maybe it was a doll, maybe it was a computer even. And you opened up the box, and what came out along with the toy, what came out along with the electronics, what slid out along with the whole business? The instructions. Maybe you think, Pastor, we don't buy toys like that. I don't buy things like that. All those instructions are on the internet. That doesn't come with instructions. If you want instructions, you've got to go look them up on the internet. But notice, whether like the juicer, whether like the toys you got, whether they're printed out or they are on the internet, it comes with instructions. And what happens, despite what some people will say, we don't need those instructions, we'll just ignore those. I'm smart, I'll figure it out. I have so much life experience. What often happens when you do that? You can't figure out how it works. And you break it. And all of a sudden, your favorite toy, what you hoped would be your favorite toy, or maybe your ugly new juicer, you won't use that much. You can't use it all. You always should read the instructions. Notice how that's kind of what the Lord Jesus does in a way. The nations must be changed, and they are, as these men are commissioned and empowered by the Spirit. They are to baptize. But what comes along with baptism? You not only baptize the people, you give them instructions. You not only baptize the people, you give them instructions. And these are full instructions. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Jesus gives the instructions. And though baptism is done once, the teaching from the scriptures is to be done the lifelong. Lifelong, always. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Oh, that's probably a lot more than the instructions in my juicer thing. That's probably a lot more than the Transformers instructions that say, here are the 30 steps to make it go from a boat to a robot. That's why it's a lifelong journey. How do you feel about reading the instructions? How do you feel about reading the instructions? I don't need that. I don't need that. I can figure this out. No, you can't. And it's not because you're stupid. It's not because you're stupid. You need the instructions because you're sinful. We all are. We need the instructions because we're sinful. And we could say, secondly, we need the instructions. And remember, boys and girls, this is the greatest reason ever and should be the desire of the heart of every born-again child of God to listen to the word of their Savior. You need to keep the instructions, read the instructions, and live your life according to them because Jesus said. And you cannot find out what Jesus said by going for a walk in the field or a kayak down the river or a climb up the mountain. You can't hear the voice of Jesus in the crack of the thunder. And you can't see the voice of Jesus in the rising of the sun. Paul in Romans 1 tells us what revelation comes from nature. Romans 1, we're told very clearly what revelation we get through nature. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest unto them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and his Godhead. So they are without excuse. The revelation of God in creation is one of his deity, his godness, and the fact he doesn't change, which means for a sinner, their condemnation. We could go to passages like Psalm 19 that talk about how the heavens declare the glory of God, but that is exactly the problem for us as sinners. Once the grace of God comes, because this is where Christ is revealed, this is where salvation is revealed, even Paul tells us in Romans 1, it's in the instructions. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's where the power is. That's where the hope is. That's where the life-transforming power is. That's what's supposed to go along with baptism. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The Bible is alive. The word of God is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And as it continues, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, as it continues, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We can't throw away the directions. Maybe your dad is a smart enough guy, he can figure it out. I'm blessed with sons who are smart enough to figure it out. They can open the transformer, they can figure it out. I used to be able to do that a long time ago. There's no reason to throw away the instructions. You can't. Your sinfulness necessitates them. And blessedly, Christ's command demands it, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Notice this is the part of the job of the pastor and of the elders, your Sunday school teachers in a way. This is primarily referring to the official proclamation of the word as the 11 would do, empowered by the Spirit. But this is why our church focuses so much on teaching. This is why there's such a focus so much on the Word of God. Baptism and teaching to do everything, everything that Christ has commanded. Well, maybe you think, no, wait a minute. You're getting this direction thing wrong. What we can do is we can take this bit here from Matthew to the book of Revelation, and that's the bit. We throw this part away. These instructions are too big. This is the Old Testament. And Jesus says, whatever I commanded you. And Jesus, you know, when he was on earth, it was in the Gospels, and then from heaven by the power of the Spirit, you know, it was the apostles. It's these 11 guys he's commissioning. So we really can throw the rest of this away. No. Because Jesus came, said he came to fulfill Jesus says in the New Testament, it was by His Spirit those prophets spoke. Noah, as a preacher of righteousness, was preaching by the power of the Spirit of Christ. Moses, as he gave the Torah, was preaching by the power of the Spirit of Christ. King David, when he wrote the Psalms, was singing and writing by the power of the Spirit of Christ. Solomon, when he wrote the Proverbs, was thinking and meditating and writing by the power of the Spirit of Christ. And we can go all the way through the Old Testament. No. We need it all. We don't get to throw any of the directions away. And it's beautiful how the Lord Jesus emphasizes that here. He told in that blessed parable of the rich man and Lazarus, they have Moses and the prophets. Hear ye them. If he says that to the rich man, so much more to those he has commissioned to go bring this good news to the ends of the earth, to disciple the nations and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And that is exactly what you find in the preaching and teaching of the apostles in Acts. And that is exactly what you find in their writings in the New Testament. With the necessary instruction, or instructions, we might say, covering all things, the fullness of the Scriptures, the full significance of who Jesus is and what He's done for us, and how we are to live out of Him by His Spirit, because this is from Christ. The giving of Christian baptism, given by the one with all power, and that's why we do it. A necessary part of discipleship. This word was changed through baptism and through teaching. Being set apart in that special covenant relationship by the power of the Spirit of Christ, that baptism is a sign and a seal of, just like circumcision was. And then accompanying with it, everything in the fullness of the teachings of God's Word. Not my word. Not your word. Not your favorite teacher's word, or your favorite theologian or philosopher's word, or your favorite sociologist's word. His word. That's why we have baptism this morning. That's why as the Lord blesses our church with more households, and whether it is a whole household, or whether that household grows one life at a time, we will always have baptism. So the nations can be discipled. So they can be discipled through baptism and through teaching. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, our great Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray we would always cherish baptism and cherish the teaching of Thy Word. Continue, Lord, to guide us and lead us in that way of truth. And we give Thee thanks that that Spirit was given to the apostles to write that truth. And that Spirit is given to us, Lord, that we may understand, know, love, and embrace that truth. We pray, Heavenly Father, for Thy presence to be with us through this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.